Hey friends, Misty Phillip here. Welcome to another episode of the By His Grace podcast. I am so grateful to have you with me today. If you might have noticed, for those of you who are my regular listeners, I typically release a weekly episode, and I didn't release one last week. And that is because I have so much going on behind the scenes. For those of you who don't know, I am the founder of the Spark Christian Podcast Conference and the Rocket Podcast Community. And right now, I am in an incredibly busy season as I prepare for a virtual Spark Christian podcast conference associated with PodFest. So I'd like to interject a little commercial for that. If you're interested in learning more, you can visit podfestexpo.com for details, or follow me on social media, either at Misty Phillip, Spark, or Rocket, and you can learn about all of the things that are happening behind the scenes. So over the course of the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be taking a short break until after the Rocket community reopens and I launch the Spark Virtual Podcast Conference. So we'll just take a temporary break and then we'll hit it back in the middle of August. So today I want to welcome my friend, Evelyn Mann. Evelyn is the author of Miracle in My Living Room and Thriving Through Trials. Evelyn is the mom of Samuel. And if you don't know who Evelyn is, I'm going to put a link to connect with her. She is an amazing woman with an incredible story and an incredible son, Samuel. Evelyn and I have some shared experience with dealing with a difficult diagnosis of having a child who's been diagnosed with being incompatible with life. And we also have the tremendous honor and blessing and hardship of raising a special needs child. I think what stood out the most to me in this episode is perspective. You know, we can't always control our circumstances. None of us are able to control what's happening with the COVID virus or in this difficult times and days that we're living in. But we can't control other people. The one thing that we can do is we control ourselves, and we can control the way we respond to difficult situations. We have a choice in how we respond. Oftentimes, that is colored by our lens of experience and where our focus is. And I just would like to say my guest today, Evelyn, has an eternal perspective. She has her eyes transfixed on Jesus. And it is just a beautiful living testimony of her love for her son and for the Lord. Today on By His Grace, I am talking with Evelyn Mann. Evelyn is the mother to Samuel, and she has written a book that we're going to talk about in a little bit, The Story of a Little Man, that is so precious. Evelyn, welcome to By His Grace today.
Thank you so much for having me, Misty. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to the chat.
Yeah. So let's just dive right into your story. Let's talk about your journey into motherhood and the story of your little man.
Well, I wonder, you know, I'm wondering how far back I should go. And I really think it's, I'm going to go back a little further than I normally do. So you guys are getting something a little special here. So I'm like every other girl, right? You grow up dreaming of finding a prince charming and marrying your prince charming and going off into the sunset. For me, it took a little bit longer to find my prince charming. And I actually found him on a Christian dating website. We met in February. I was on the Christian website in February. I met him in November. After 3 months, I was smitten. I was ready for the ring. 2.5 years later, my husband proposed to me, and we were married 6 weeks later. And then about 6 months later, I became pregnant with my beautiful son at the time. it was very exciting news to share with my husband's parents and my parents. And it was a very joyous time. About week 20, I went to a sonogram appointment, and it was surreal. You see it on TV, right? You see the picture on TV of the what's on the screen, but I'd never seen that in real life, so I didn't know what I was looking for. And the person who was doing the test was really quiet and didn't say much. So we were sent to the doctor's office, and we waited for half an hour, 45 minutes. It was like, what's going on? he came in and said there was something wrong with our child, and we were going to have a boy, he said, but there's something wrong. And I left that meeting bewildered, unbelieving, and surreal, very surreal. So we decided to get a second opinion, but I didn't want to go back to the place we went. So I live in the Tampa Bay area. So we drove to Orlando and went to a high-level sonogram appointment. And at that appointment, the people were very kind and very gracious, but they did indeed say there was that Samuel was growing slow. He was growing behind. And I'm thinking, yeah, but you can just catch up, right? So babies grow. That's what they do. Not really realizing, the severity of it. They gave me a little pamphlet that said, there's something wrong with your baby. Yes, they actually said that. So we were driving, the 45-minute hour drive home and looking at all this stuff, and got home. And the next, the next is week 20. So the next 30 weeks, it was a trial. It was really just very difficult knowing that they're saying there's something wrong with your child. Every appointment you go to, there's something wrong with your child. Chances are it's a not compatible with life diagnosis, that he's not going to make it past birth. And, I've always had a deep faith. And what carried me through was at that appointment in Orlando, we had spent all day listening to the doctors, talking to genetic counselor. And I think we got out, I think it was 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I looked at my husband and we walked out, and I just had a sense of peace. And it was very strange, because considering everything we just heard, for me to have that peace, it was like a protection. So we went to lunch, and I talked, and I was like, okay, how do I tell this to my husband? Because I have peace about this. And I told it to him, and he looked at me and he goes, yeah, I feel the same way. So not only did I get the peace that God gave me, he gave it to my husband too. And we had it at the same time. And what we didn't know then was we were going to need that as we went through all the different trials and that we're going to come up in the next months and years ahead. That gift of peace really is what held me through. There was so many times when I'd have to refer to that, because we are still in this flesh, right? So I would know that peace is there, and then I'd start doing all the what ifs in your mind. What ifs are not a fun place to go.
No, and I can so relate to your story, because I've been in that same situation when our youngest son, Liam, when we went to the ultrasound, I thought we were going to find out, are we having a boy or having a girl? And, the ultrasound tech was very quiet, and she just kept measuring and measuring and measuring. And my doctor came in and they said, there are some things that are wrong with your son, right? And you just, in that moment, you're just like, what? Wait, like, no, everything's fine. Like, I'm pregnant, I'm healthy, you feel good. And it's a little hard to process. And then when you go to that level 2 ultrasound, I did that as well, met with the genetic counselors. And, for me, they looked at me and said, your child is incompatible with life, and everybody would understand if you chose to terminate the pregnancy. And
you know, I knew that my son was fearfully and wonderfully made and that God had a purpose and a plan no matter how long he lived. And so I was adamant with them. And I think they were a little surprised because I don't think everybody responds that way. But I'm like, no, you don't understand. He's fearfully and wonderfully made and God has a purpose and a plan. But I definitely had to fight that fear and the what if and what does this mean? And so I'd like to hear more of your journey and how that unfolded for you.
It was, we got the same question. Another pivotal point was we went to another sonogram later on in my pregnancy, and we saw Samuel wiggling, like doing a little dance, you know. So we left there going, are you kidding me? What do you mean you want to do, you know, you want, no, we're going to go forth and, you know, just trust that God, like you said, God has a plan. It's kind of funny that you said that because after Samuel was born, Ralph, my husband, gave, he calls Samuel God's alternate construction. And it's not, and I think of it, it's like, you know, there's a Cadillac, there's a Pinto, there's everything in between, but all the cars are different and we're all different and we all have differences. And yet, you know, there's some things that are the same. And I almost named my book God's Alternate Construction. We came up with a different name, but I came very close to naming it that because I think it's a really good perspective. But we went, after we left that sonogram appointment of Samuel dancing in my belly, we're like, you know, we're not considering anything but going forth and you know, having Samuel. So, we made that decision. And every time I went to the doctor's office, they made it really challenging. So we went, we left that meeting knowing that, but then the next big question came, were we going to have Samuel by C-section or by regular, you know, just a regular birth? And that was a major dilemma. So we went to a doctor that was a pro-life doctor, and we we didn't even go. I called the office and explained our situation and asked what his advice was. And so the day after, the nurse from the doctor's office called me and said, well, we're really sorry, but the doctor can't advise you on that. I'm like, okay, well, you know, we're happy to sign a release. You know, we're not going to hold you, you know, in any way, you know, harmless. We're just, you know, we're just trying to medically find out what's the best choice, how to have Samuel. And he said, no, if your son grows up, he turns 18, he could end up suing the doctor. And at the time, I'm like, what do you mean? I mean, Samuel couldn't sign a release because he's in my belly. I'm, you know, my husband and I were willing to sign a release. So I just thought it was very odd. So we didn't get that second opinion. And I found out later that there are cases all over the world. There was one in Australia where this has actually happened, where a child, by the way that they were born, that one child had the arm that was dislocated, I guess, during birth, and he grew, I think it was a she. She grew up and, you know, filed suit against the doctor that delivered her 18 years before. I mean, it was amazing to me because, you know, it's hard enough, as you know, to have this diagnosis, and we're just trying to be good parents. We're just trying to get the best medical advice. So in the end, we decided. To do a C-section because we thought it would be the less traumatic way for Samuel to go and to be birthed and to give him the best chance at life possible that we could. So it was a little out of my hands when that happened. So I developed a high leak at week 32. And technically, normally when something like that happens, I could have developed an infection. It could have been that Samuel was going to be delivered within 3 days. So that would be, it was about week 30 when that happened. So like normally a child is born at week 40. So that's 10 weeks early and he already has a diagnosis. So it's a bit of a challenge there. What are we going to do? And ultimately I was on bed rest in the hospital. And at week 30, 5, they decided to do a C-section. An amazing miracle. So we had so many of them, but that was one of them. So I was week 30. I had a high leak, and Samuel made it to week 35.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that was, there's just so many little things that happened. That's one of them. And then, so we had Samuel, and he was born, and he was put into the neonatal intensive care unit, where they put him on a ventilator, and then they put him on an oscillator, and an oscillator pumps about 200 breaths per minute. The child is normally sedated because it's pretty hard on the body. And I had a nurse come to me and say, you know, most of the kids that go on this oscillator, they don't get off. And I heard her words, but in my heart, I didn't accept them. And within a week, he was off of the oscillator.
Praise God.
So yeah, it's just, we spent 6 weeks in the neonatal intensive care unit, going through a lot of that, up days, down days, some good days, some not so good days. And then,
hold on, I want to go back there for just a minute, because I think what you just said is so, so important. I really want to focus in on that for the listeners, because right now, as we're recording this, you know, we have been dealing with a global pandemic for several weeks. We're like 2 months into this, and there's a lot of reports that are coming out. There's a lot of things that could make us be very afraid. But I think that we have to listen to that still small voice inside of us, that one that gave you inner peace, the one who said, you know, don't believe this. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And we can focus on that fear or that report, or we can focus on what we know to be true. And so in that moment, you rejected that, and you could have accepted that. You could have focused on that. If it would have been me, I probably would have internalized it, twisted it around in my head for a while. But I love the fact that you just said, no, I'm not going to believe that. And what a miracle that is, that 1 week later, that is exercising your faith and believing God for what you haven't even seen yet. And that truly is a miracle. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your story.
No, I want you to.
But yeah, I think that was just a really important nugget of wisdom that I want listeners to hear, because it may be, you know, with a child with a diagnosis, it could be another situation, but there may be a report that someone is trying to tell you is truth, that is not necessarily your truth. So don't listen to the reports that you're hearing. Listen to the Holy Spirit who lives within you, who will guide you into all truth.
When the nurse told me that most children don't make it off of the oscillator, I think it was a God-given gift inside of me to protect me from that report. I think it was a buffer to let it go in one ear and out the other. I had heard so many things up to that point. Samuel wasn't going to live past birth, and then live past birth. Maybe it would be a little while, maybe a day, maybe not even a few minutes. So I had heard so many reports, and to that point, I think that helped weigh me a little bit. But I really think that was a God-given gift, just to protect me and to take it out from one ear to the other, and not to let it hurt me or harm me. I just, it's kind of like, well, let Samuel show you, or let God show you, because let's see what happens. And that is not the first time that continually happened. We left the neonatal intensive care unit, went to the pediatric intensive care unit, and there was the ventilator that he was on in the hospital. In order to get home, he had to be on a ventilator that was a home ventilator to get him off of it. And they just did not have confidence to get him on the home ventilator. And we had this big meeting with doctors and nurses and representatives from the hospital. It was full. There must have been 10, 12 people in there, including us. And they were giving their thoughts and their opinions. And I didn't say anything, which is kind of unusual for me. I'm a talker. And at the end, they go, "Well, you know, Mrs. Mann, would you like to say anything?" And the only thing that rose up in me, I said, "He, Samuel, will surprise you." We left that meeting. They took Samuel off of the hospital ventilator, put him on the home ventilator, and I overheard a nurse say that a doctor said he wouldn't be on there for 20 minutes. 24 hours later, he was still on the ventilator, the homebound ventilator. And it was just like another aha moment for me. You know, God was so gracious, because I could have said he will surprise you and, you know, he would have failed that test, but it didn't happen. It was 24 hours later. He was still on it. We did have to take him off of it. It was a process of going back and forth to get him on the home ventilator to get him home. But it's moments like that, or the time that he has a tracheostomy and he has a G-tube. So a tracheostomy, it's a tube that goes down the throat. And the machine does the breathing for you. And it's a small tube. So the tube got clogged up with some phlegm, and Samuel's oxygen sats were going down, and they were trying to help him and they couldn't find anybody. So they finally found this respiratory therapist who came in, kind of looked at the situation, said, went down. And when she went down to suction him, he coughed the phlegm up and he cleared. And everything was fine. And we just looked at this lady. We're like, "Thank you so much. Thank you for, you know, coming in and doing this." And she goes, "Oh, it's just in the right place at the right time." Well, here's the funny thing. We were in the hospital a total of 6 months with Samuel. We never saw her again.
Wow.
And we wonder in our minds if she just wasn't an angel just sent by God to help Samuel. And they were still concerned after the plug cleared. They're like, "Oh, you know, we don't want you to leave the hospital." I mean, they gave us a room. We spent the night in the hospital. But what was funny was we knew he was okay, but we stayed anyway. Just we didn't want them to think that we weren't concerned, but at the same token, we knew he was okay. And there's so many stories. There's so many stories like that. Little miracle stories.
Yeah. So tell us, the listeners, what his diagnosis is so that they can get a full picture of Samuel.
So Samuel's diagnosis is called thanatophoric dysplasia dwarfism. So the medical books is technically thanatophoric dysplasia, not the dwarfism, but it is a form of dwarfism. So thanatophoric in Greek means death bringing. There are about 12 children / adults worldwide that have the diagnosis that are survivors. There may be a few more that I'm not aware of. But it's around that number. He is now 14 years old. He is 29 inches tall, about 28 pounds, and full of vim and vigor and personality and joy and happiness. And it's, as you were talking about early in the intro, you know, that smile is what captivates people and brings them in. And, you know, how many people can have that effect on other people, just to bring joy to their lives? So I'm really blessed to be able to share him.
Yeah. I have another son, who has special needs, and, he's that way. I mean, just brings just the biggest smile on his face and just brings joy. Connor is he just spreads joy wherever he goes. And I really feel like God has entrusted us with these children, because they're true gifts, not only to us, because they help us, they point us to Jesus, they help us in our sanctification process, but they also, they change the lives of other people. So I would like to know, how has having Samuel changed your life?
Well, there are a lot of things, and I'm just going to say this, so there's some freedoms that we don't have, that we did have before. You exchange the freedom of being able to go anywhere you want or fly anywhere you want. We have not been on an airplane. Well, I have once, but Samuel's never been on an airplane. there's a lot of, you know, things that, as you know, before we had Samuel, that we were able to do that we don't do now. But I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean that in a, just a kind of a setting of the scene, because we haven't let that hinder us. We got a van, we converted it inside, and we took Samuel to Niagara Falls. We took him to Washington, D.C. We took him to Canada, just through driving through. We did that a couple of years ago. And it was helping him see the world and also allowing us the freedom that we didn't have when he was a baby to show him everything. So when we got home from the hospital, I didn't want to go out of the house. The safest place to keep my son was in the four walls, and I knew I could control it as much as possible. And what's interesting is that works for a while, but God wants us to come out of our comfort zones. And to do that, you have to release and relinquish control and let God have space to do what he does, to show off and to allow him to be getting the glory in things that we wouldn't be able to do if we're just stuck in the four walls. So my husband kept saying, let's go to the park. I'm like, no way. Let's go to the park. No way. I'm not going. Four walls, I'm good. Hey, you know, doctor's appointments by ambulance. We had to take him to doctor's appointments by ambulance because we need to make sure he had the oxygen. And then one day, one of our nurses nominated us for Make-A-Wish. And they go, well, do you want a week vacation in Orlando to take your son and expose him to the world and this everything else? And I'm like, well, yeah, a week's vacation sounds really good. I wouldn't go to the park. So I took that leap of faith, and they came and picked us up in a white, big white limousine at our house. And they drove us to Orlando, and they gave us passes to all the parks, which was amazing. So there's this one surreal moment where we're in the middle of Disney World, and we're by this lake, and they have the lights on, and they have the fountain going. And I just stopped. Samuel was asleep in his stroller. We had put a fan on top of the stroller to make sure he stayed cool. It was in January. And I thought, oh my goodness, what happens if he needs something and we need an ambulance to find us? How are they going to get to us in the middle of Disney World? How's the ambulance going to get? And all of a sudden, all these things started going through my head, and I thought, we're crazy. What are we doing? And all of a sudden, I just looked down at Sam and he was sleeping, and it was like, everything's fine. Just relax and enjoy the moment. Nothing's wrong. And that was just another aha moment for me. Okay, I can do this. you know, God's protected us. So we went to Disney, and then we came back home, and my husband turned to me and he goes, so now can we go to the park?
You know, I know that exact feeling, the way that I say it about Connor. There were a lot of places that we couldn't go because of his extreme sensitivity to sound and noise. And there were a lot of places it really altered our life. So we don't have the same challenges, but I understand. But then at the same time, God has provided incredible opportunities that we wouldn't have if we had Connor. So it's kind of this catch 22, like, you know, there were a lot of things that you couldn't do that you would do with a typically developing child. But then here you got this incredible special opportunity that most typical children don't get. So I love the way that God does that with our special kids. He gives us opportunities to, like you said it so beautifully, to show up and have space for God to get the glory. Because when we can try to control things, and that never works out, right? So,
I do it today. We're moms, right? So, there's that worry gene, and it just gets activated, and it's just a battle that we have to overcome. Even as recent as yesterday, it's you know, don't worry about tomorrow, let tomorrow worry about itself. Just, and what that does is it steals your joy. And you know, what I need to do is relax in the moment and enjoy Samuel. So he's laying on my lap last night. We're watching a movie together and he's giving me high fives. And I need to be present with him in those moments and not allow the worry to overcome that. A lot of it has to do with control. I'm trying to control everything. I mean, it didn't go away 14 years later. I'm still trying to do it. But I think God is being gracious and teaching me that I have to leave room for him. I have to leave room for him to work. I can't control everything, because then if I do, you know, it's me getting credit for the fact that he's in four walls, which is not good for him. So even with the situation we're going through now, we take Samuel for rides. We don't go anywhere. We just take him for rides, and he's still out, you know, getting exposed to all the different cars and the trucks that go by. And it's still a challenge. It's a daily thing. But I think when those prayers get answered and we see what God is doing, then when we face the next challenge, we can look back and go, oh, wait a minute. You know, we've been through this, we've been through this, we've been through this, we've been through all these mountains and, you know, miracles. And why am I worrying? I need to give it back to God and let him worry about it and move on.
Yeah, I interviewed Amanda, who is the author of Unraveled, and what she talked about was mothering fiercely in a world full of fear. And one of the things that she said that has really just stuck with me, and it reminds me of what you're saying, is that we live in the world of what is, but our thought life, it wants to take us to a world of what if. What if this? What if that? What if this? But we can't allow our minds to do that. We have to focus on what is. And so you focused on what you know, that what God has done, his faithfulness in the past, and making remembrance stones, reminding ourselves God was faithful then, he's faithful now. He did this for us. He's going to see us through. And so that's so important in just taking our thoughts captive and focusing on what we know to be true. So this led you to writing your story, which is the story of a little man. And when my boys were little, that's what we always called them. They were little men, and we always called them little man. When our oldest was born, that was his nickname. Just everybody called him little man. So I love that. That's very near and dear to my heart. So yeah.
Well, little man in our case is my last name is Man.
Yeah, which is just so adorable.
So it's yeah. M-A-N-N. So the first edition of Miracle in My Living Room, the story of a little man. I really love the title Miracle in My Living Room, because getting Samuel home from the hospital, there's so many things that happened, as I shared earlier, but just getting him home, that was a miracle. Because remember, they said he was not compatible with life. So then he made it home and he's in my living room, you know, and he's not in the hospital. He's not in a hospital bed. He's not, you know, in an ambulance. He is in my living room. So that is the heart behind the title, instead of going with God's Alternative Construction. But Miracle in My Living Room, it took me 4 years to write the first draft of Miracle in My Living Room, because I was a full-time mom and a part-time writer.
Yeah. With a special needs child, which for those who don't have special needs children, like being a mother is difficult. And then having a child with special needs is like 1,000 times more difficult, just to put it into perspective for people. Before we started recording, I asked you about a special verse that you held on to through this time. Could you share that with the audience?
My pastor's wife wrote verses on 3x5 cards, and she gave me a stack of them, and I would read them over Samuel while he was in the crib. And there was one that really helped me tremendously, and it's Isaiah 40:11. He gently leads those who have young. And Samuel was young, And I leaned into that verse and let it flow over me and let it lift me up and let it hold me up when everything was going on around us. He gently leaves those who have young. It was a promise. It was a promise to me as a mom. And I could camp on that and trust that God had me. He was leading me. He knew I had a young one. And he would help me through it. And I don't know how to explain it, except when you're in the thick of things, when you have something like this verse hold you up, it helps you get through that next minute or through that next hour or through that next day. And you wake up the next morning, you go, he gently leads those who have young. Okay, let's just go through this and see what he does. So it really helped me. And all of them did. All of the verses did. But that's the one I camped on.
Yeah, I love that. Well, if you could talk to someone who is facing a similar diagnosis, or maybe someone who has a child with disabilities and they're struggling right now, what would you say to them?
The things that helped me during that time were having somebody I could call on a prayer chain. So we had a prayer chain in our church. Anything that happened to Samuel, they were praying. So I would call, let them know. So that was one. Two, just verses like the one I just shared were really helpful. Three, doing research on your specific diagnosis. Now, back when I had Samuel, there was no Facebook. So finding a Facebook group that you feel comfortable and safe in that you can share, where it's an upbeat, positive environment is really important, that you can have somebody help you through that. But ultimately, it's just trusting God with each day. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. And there's a lot of you want to lean on your own understanding. You're trying to figure things out. But just acknowledge God, and He'll direct your paths, and rest in what He's doing for you. And you know, when I say this, and I don't, so Samuel is 14, and he's a miracle. And some, a lot of these children don't live maybe necessarily past birth, or they live 6 months, or they live a few months, or whatever time it is that God gives your child, that's that precious time, whether it's 20 minutes. And I don't mean that, I just mean it's precious. Whatever that is, it's precious, and accept it and be present in the moment for your child, whatever that time may be, you know. And I think that that's important too, is just to be present in the moment with your child and lean on God and have people back you up in prayer.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, Evelyn, thank you so much for coming on By His Grace today and sharing your story and the story of Samuel and the many miracles that the Lord has done in his life. He is a miracle, a living miracle. And I want people to get your book so that they can hear the rest of the story about your little man. So it is A Miracle in My Living Room, The Story of a Little Man. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes so that people can find you and find the book, and they can go see the pictures of your amazing little miracle man.
Yes. And on Instagram too, you'll be able to see his bright shining smile there too.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Misty. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Phillip, and I would love to connect with you there.